So, you know, I am happy to give a Dharma talk. You know, we give Dharma talks here every week. If it's not me, it's somebody else. And in these Dharma talks, we are sharing the ancient teachings of Buddhism and practices, hopefully in a modern, accessible way, so that people can utilize them to do their own transformative work. But there is a problem with that. Now, the problem with that is, no matter what the quality of the talk is, and no matter what the you know, what happens to you during the 45 minutes or hour of the talk, the nature of this mind, this is now our thinking mind, is it just keeps thinking, right? So you may be in here and have some insights or have some, you know, that makes a lot of sense, or I got to remember to do that, or you know what I mean, all that kind of stuff. And yet you may find that as soon as you walk out of here, you're on to the next, right? And the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And you might wonder why it is that you have listened to some, many, hundreds, especially with, you know, the internet these days, you can really listen to Dharma talks of all types, morning, noon, and night. You may wonder, well, why is it, since I've heard all this stuff many times, why, you know, why do I more or less still, you know, function and feel the same way? It's an interesting question, right? Because one would think, wow, I've been listening to these talks for and reading these books for years. And, you know, perhaps even positively affected by them. So why is it that I don't change? Well, it's again because of the nature of this mind that it just keeps rolling along, that if we want to begin to put different imprints in our mind, if we want to really move our life in a new direction, there has to be a process where we stop the usual mode and we begin to reflect, you see. So when we hear a Dharma talk and something in the talk moves us, or we think it's insightful, or we go to remember that, when we leave here, we must reflect on it, you see. There has to be a process that gets, you know, it's sort of like food, right? I mean, somebody could put a nice plate of food, right, before us, and we could even put it in our mouth, right? But if you swallow it whole, well, I won't go into it. You know, it has to be chewed upon, doesn't it? And the more it is chewed upon, the easier it is to digest. And if it is digested, then it begins to suffuse and bring nourishment to the body. In the same way, these very profound and meaningful teachings that many of us hold to, if we don't really, during our daily life, and especially when we leave a talk, you know, reflect on it. What did he say today? Why was that so meaningful to me? Or what does that really mean for me? And how am I going to implement that in my life? And how am I going to make the changes that that insight or whatever is leading to? You see, if we don't go through that process, it will just slip away, right? And there may be people in here again who've listened to many, many talks, read many, many books, can even have quite intelligent conversations on these matters. And yet, fundamentally, have not integrated them into our life, so we really get the fruits. So I just want to give that as a little caveat. a little warning, a little full disclosure. It's like, you know, it's like a disclosure on a bottle of medicine, right? That says just because you have the medicine and it's in your cabinet, you know, doesn't mean it's going to heal you. Right? You have to what? Take it 3 times a day. Right? Just having it on the shelf or even having it in your hand is not going to work, unfortunately. So just again, just having the teachings available as an experience or as a book or, you know. So again, that's another reason why these talks are recorded and put on the web. So at other times, you can listen to them. But again, in these days of podcasts, you know, people listen to them on the go, don't we? You see, that's very common. We listen to these things on the go. Many people say, oh yeah, I like to listen to your talks, especially when I'm driving. That's fine. I mean, you know, that's all you have. But you see, the problem is, once you get to your destination, you hop out of the car and you just go on to the next thing. The talk is not digested. If it's not digested, it will not sink in. Or it'll sink in very slowly. So I really encourage you, if there's anything in your reading and listening to the talk, reflect on it afterwards. What does this really mean? And if I do think it has meaning for me, then how am I going to implement it in my life? See? That's integration. That's digestion. And then we practice. Okay? Any questions about that? Just a sort of a full disclosure. This medicine only works if you take it. Yes. Yes. I'll repeat it. Yes. Okay. Yeah, just go.
Okay. Just a brief comment, as you were saying about reflection. Mm-hmm. Some time ago, I watched a teaching about cutting carrots. And how when you're cutting carrots, you're doing nothing more than cutting carrots. And for those who are not familiar with that, it was Fred's mother. Mm-hmm.
So just so everybody can hear that, Mauricio was just affirming that he heard a talk once and the talk affected him. It's like all of a sudden he got it. Oh, when cutting the carrots, all you're doing is cutting the carrots, and that is the total summation of your life in that moment. Be present. And he said that has stuck with them, and he's practiced it. So that's why it gets integrated, because practice day after day. Bring ourselves back. Bring ourselves back. Remember. Yeah. Good. And often it starts with something like that, something that catches our attention. Right? We might have heard it, we might have heard the teaching one way, we might have heard it this way, but all of a sudden, for some strange reason, one day we go, oh, that's, it's like we never heard it before. Yeah, good. That's the way it is. These minds of ours, they are. Well, you know what they're like. So today, I want to share two little sentences, or several sentences, from Thich Nhat Hanh. I think all of you are familiar with Thich Nhat Hanh, one of the great lights of modern-day Buddhism, engaged Buddhism, really helping us bring these ancient teachings into all aspects of our life, engaged Buddhism. And this is from his book called Understanding Our Mind, which is probably one of his deepest books, and really has a lot to do with his presentation of traditional Buddhist psychology, Yogacara. So these are just two little sentences. These are actually more than two sentences. So the first paragraph, I'll call it a paragraph. The first paragraph is a short paragraph. It says, this is a very important practice. Live your daily life in a way that you never lose yourself. When you are carried away with your worries, fears, cravings, anger, and desires, you run away from yourself. You lose yourself. The practice is always to go back to oneself. And then the other one, which is from the text, but not necessarily followed it, but I think it's related. It says, the present moment contains past and future. The present moment contains past and future. The secret of transformation is in the way we handle this very moment. So, live your life in a way that you never lose yourself. So let me just spend a few minutes just talking a little bit about Buddhist psychology, because it's important to get what returning to yourself means, because it could, you know, in Buddhism, people might go, I thought Buddhism wasn't about getting rid of the self, or not being self-centered, or, and yet here he's saying, no, it's all about returning to yourself. So it can be a little confusing. Words are often confusing. So imagine you are, what could you do? You imagine you are born in a completely dark house. Totally dark. You have an absolute lack of any sensory experience. As well as you have no language. Can you just be with me a second? So you're just like in this completely dark environment, no sensory experience, right? And then all of a sudden, you start opening the drapes, and so you can see out the windows, okay? So how that relates to us as human beings is, How do we know the world? Right? What are our windows? Right? So we're all the same here. All human beings are the same. We know the world because we see the world. We hear the world. We smell the world. We taste the world. And we kind of sense it. Is that clear? Those are our five senses. Those are the windows to the world. Okay? Everything you know because you've made sensory contact with it. Is that clear? And your sensory contact is always occurring in the present moment. Right? So you're seeing me now, you're hearing my voice now. This is seeing and hearing always go on in the present moment. This is it, right? If you're feeling some sensation in your body, you're feeling it right now, okay? If you're tasting something in your mouth, you're tasting it right now, okay? You see how simple that is? In a certain way, very nice, isn't it? You're just experiencing. And your senses are just endlessly, as you look about the world, as you smell the world, as you hear the world, as you taste the world foods, you know, sense it, feel it in your body. Your body's just giving you endless bits of just experience. Right? That's all that's going on. There's no past, there's no future. You're just having pure experience. How does that sound? Right? Totally alive to really what's going on. Now, this is where the problem goes. See, remember that person who was in the dark house, who's now looking out through all the windows, the five senses? They, because they have a capacity, we, to think about the information that's coming to us, don't we? Right? So we have a, we can label things, we can name things, we can like or dislike things, taste, sounds, right? Right? So all of a sudden, it's no longer a world of pure experience, it's a world of experience, but I'm now divided up into, I can name everything, and I can like and dislike, prefer, right? Oh, it's getting a little more complicated, right? And it gets more and more complicated the longer we live, as well as we have this other incredible capacity. We, our mind, stores information. Our sensory doesn't store information, it just experiences. But our mind stores information, right? So we, the more experiences we have, the more, you know, in our database, there's more information about all the information that's coming in through our senses, right? It's getting more complicated. Right? Because now we have thoughts, stories, memories, feelings, projections, issues, all kinds of stuff that are all going on, right? Now where are they going on? In our eyes? In our ears? In that which is bringing in the data? No. It's now all going on in our mind. Is everybody with me? Okay. And live your daily life in a way that you never lose yourself. Where do we lose ourselves? In our thoughts. In our stories, in our dramas of past, present, and future. That's where we spend the day. Endlessly interpreting, projecting, wanting, need, I mean, right? It's just endless. This is where we are living. And he says, when you are carried away with your worries, fears, cravings, anger, and desire, which means all that stuff, you run away from yourself. When he says yourself, it means you're just present experience of you, of whatever you're doing, right? Like Mauricio goes, yeah, wow. You mean, like when I'm in the kitchen making something, and I'm cutting, that's really my life at that moment? And if I'm not present to it because I'm thinking about something that happened in the past, I'm thinking about something that happened in the future, I'm thinking about all kinds of things, I am not in reality, I am in my what? I'm swept away. And again, not only are we swept away by this type of thinking, but we also contain within our minds this capacity for emotions, feelings. So not only do we just have thoughts, but we have something that's actually much more potent in sweeping us away, which is what? Feelings, right? So we just don't remember something, we remember something with some anger, some irritation, some fear, some sadness, right? So these powerful kind of afflictive currents also sweep us away, okay? And so we find at a certain point in our life that we spend most of our time being just swept away by all kinds of things that are coming up within our minds and are preventing us from really living clearly with clarity and presence in the reality of our lives. Which which also is really sabotaging our capacity to be happy. Right? Because most of our ruminations and obsessions and thinking is just, what? What is it? Anybody experience it? I mean, what's so much of it about? What? Negative stuff. We love the negative. Human beings have this perverted capacity, you know, if they're going to ruminate with what's wrong. Right? Very few people ruminate, obsess, you know, about what was right. Right? People are not working through the happy issues from their childhood, are they? They're not working through the happy, the happy moments of a prior relationship, are they? No, what are they thinking about? What? Everything that went wrong. You know, nothing that's not life. Life is full of all kinds of moments. But we have this strange, perverted capacity to endlessly reflect on the afflictive and the negative. So he says, live your life in a way that you never lose yourself. So again, it's important when he's talking about losing yourself, he's talking about your capacity to be alive through your senses in the present moment. This is where life is occurring. Right? Like, this is a present moment. Right? We're here. We're sitting here, we see, we hear, we smell, you know, it's all going on. Even our thoughts are occurring in the present moment. Our thoughts are not occurring in the past. Our thoughts are not occurring about the future. We may be thinking about the past, we may be thinking about the future, but the thought themselves and the feeling themselves are arising in this present moment. Nowhere else. So this is very simple, but very fundamental. You know, first we need to know that there is a living experience of who we are as human beings that is occurring very naturally and spontaneously through our senses all the time. At the same time, we have to understand that there's this whole process going on in our thinking mind, right? And we are lost in the thinking mind, which is just a tiny part of our actual experience, and totally missing and not present to the reality of what's unfolding right in front of us. Right? We could be with another human being. But all we're doing is projecting our thoughts about them. And if we have experience with them, it may be positive or negative that we're putting on this, but we are not present to them as they are right now, are we? And we don't even know that. That is why, if we're not careful, we will endlessly live and relive and relive the past. It will not go away by itself. It will just keep repeating itself. You run away from yourself and you lose yourself. Many of us don't even know who we are anymore. We know what we think, but are we really at home with ourselves? You know, one of the most terrifying things for many people these days is to be alone. Right? Right? When the internet goes down, what do I do now? You see? It's not comfortable. Because we are now what? We're alone with ourselves. to be with ourselves is not a comfortable, safe, happy place, right? So the practice is always to come back. It's not really, he says, when he says yourself, he doesn't mean like your self-self. He means you're just your subjective experience in the present. You know, that's why we practice the meditation we practice. We have to learn something that we knew as children. Children don't have to do this stuff. They're already present. Right? Anybody remembers being a child? Right? You remember you're just present. Just in the sandbox, digging around. That's all that's going on. And you might have been very happy. So this capacity that we had to be at home within ourselves, we always had, but we've lost it because we have just endlessly developed and relied on and trusted and identified with our thinking process, no matter where it leads us. Right? So we end up lost. Lost means what? It's like, I'm lost, and how often do we don't even know how we got here, right? How did I end up in this mind state? How did I end up here? We're not even aware. So the next one goes, the present moment contains past and future. The secret of transformation is in the way we handle this moment. So this is very important. This is key. If we want to change, right? I would imagine that most people who are here today are here to some degree or another because they want to change something, right? In some aspect of their life. Right. So, that could just be a little thing. But if you kind of listen to what was presented in the first paragraph about how we are lost and carried away with our worries, fears, cravings, anger, desire, how we are just lost to ourselves. How do I find myself again? You see, some people think that's a big deal, right? Got to find myself. Whew. How am I ever going to do that? Oh, I know. I'll start reading books about finding myself. And I'm sure there are lots of books that are called How to Find Yourself, right? Which is good. But there's a simpler way. Come home. Right now, you're right here. You're right here. This is you. You that are listening to the talk, that's you. Hi, you. That's you. Not the one who's thinking about the talk or even think of what I just said, but the one who's just listening. The one who can feel their body. The one who sees. The one who smells. The one who tastes. That's you. You're right here, right now. You've always been here right now. But we don't know that because we're lost in our projections and our identifications and in our thoughts, in our stories. And when the music stops and we're just here, our initial response is, like my grandson. Boring. Right? When the music stops, we're not comfortable just being ourselves. It's boring. Or for some people, it's uncomfortable. We don't know, I'm not comfortable in my own skin, we say, right? Because there are things within me, feelings, or you know, that make me uncomfortable. Right? So I can't stop. But if you can't stop, then you have to always run. Right? If you don't know how to stop, you always have to keep moving. And that's what people in our culture do. What do we do? We keep moving. Next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. Keep busy, 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 busy. Active, active, active. Stimulation, stimulation from morning till night. Right? We just keep moving. Because we don't know how to stop. We're scared of stopping. We find stopping boring. But we weren't that way as children. I mean, we could play in the sandbox for hours, couldn't we? Right? I mean, playing in the sandbox is a metaphor. If you don't have happy memories of being in the sandbox, you know, just being on the swing back and forth, you know, it's like, right? We could be. Right? We could be with ourselves. We could be with life. But we've lost that capacity. Now, luckily, as I just demonstrated to you, it's always here. But we need a process, which is meditation, mindfulness, all these things, to come back to that. Now, the present moment contains past and future, the secret of transformation in the way we handle this very moment. This, again, is key. Everybody has something called the past. Everybody just reflect on your moment, for a moment, on what you call your past. Everybody has their own past. Okay, just kind of spend a minute, just reflect on your past. That's your past. Good, bad, indifferent, right? Terrible, wonderful. Is that true? Everybody can remember a past? Yeah. Can you change any of it? Can you change any of it? No. It's gone. All you can do is have memories. People plan for the future, worry about the future, concerned about the future. Just spend a moment doing that. Okay, just, you know, pull out your favorite worry or your, you know, pull out your to-do list and just go over it. All future thinking. So in the same way, we cannot go back into the past and redo it. Can anybody, other than in science fiction movies, go into the future and make sure that it turns out just the way we want? Anybody have that power? What? Not yet. Not yet. He's working on it. Well. That's the part that's hard for you? Mm-hmm. But when are you going to do, she's asking, but there's, you know, there's so much, you know, I want to have a better future. Okay, when are you going to create the conditions for your better future?
Well, that's what I'm saying, I'm making those steps towards that.
But where are you making those steps?
In different...
No, you're always making them in the present.
Right.
You can't make them anywhere else. If that's all you got to get. I get that, but no. Just get that. The secret of transformation is how we handle this moment. Okay? So let's just come back to reality. This is like a reality check. This moment right now that we're all experiencing together, there's no such thing as a present moment, you know, but we'll just call this present moment. Okay? This present moment, this, is like a river. It is endlessly flowing. So now, you know, like now I'm saying this present moment. Well, do you remember about a minute ago I called that a present moment? See, what happened to that? It's gone. This is wherever we are fully alive and intact, this is our present moment. Okay? Is that clear? If we want to change anything, transform anything, where are we going to transform it? Can we transform it in the past? No. Can we transform it in the future? No. That's just another future thought. You know, that's, you know what I call that? We call it procrastination. Okay, is that clear? Procrastination. You know, that's also epidemic. You know, it's like, oh, starting tomorrow. Right? Well, I'm going to do this, that, I'm not going to do this and that. Okay. But if you do that, you're going to do it in a present moment. Okay? You're not going to do it in the future. There's no such thing as the future. There's only this moment. And so we want to understand, you know, if I want to change the effects of my past, right? Let's say, in the story of your life, you have things that conditioned you, right? Remember we talked about that not only are we alive in our five senses, but our minds are endlessly generating, interpreting, projecting, you know, all that stuff, right? And then storing. So therefore, we find that many people find, gee, I'm here in the present, I'm now adult, right? But I'm still affected by stuff from my past, right? All the time. And I carry emotional qualities from my past. I carry issues from my past. I interpret things according to my past. Is that correct? People talk like that. Well, especially if you think that those things sabotage you, do you a disservice or afflictive, when are you going to change? Can you go back into the past and change them? No. You can only change them now. Right? Or like Raven said, Raven wants a better future for herself. Wonderful. How are you going to do that? Well, right now, you're going to act, think, you know, differently than you, because that is part of this stream of conditioning. That is conditioning your future. You can't change in the future. You can only change now. And your changing now will have some effect on what's called future. That's why, you know, this first paragraph about stop being swept away. You know, remember, like I said, when you come to the meditation hall, learn how to stop. Many people come in the meditation hall just still running the same tapes, same story, same issues, right? Just carry them around with us, right? Sit down on the mat, just start running the same stories and tapes. Time to walk. Get up and I'll walk around and continue to run the same stories, right? We're wasting our capacity to change and transform. Right. A meditation hall is a transformation hall. we're learning how to transform. Where are we going to learn how to transform? Unfortunately, only in the present. Now, let's say you're carrying lots of baggage from your past. You think you are, anyhow. And it comes up. You react. You don't respond to life. You react according to your conditioning, right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, very common human experience. Okay. If you want to change, transform, heal, when are you going to do it? When it arises. Okay, here's your chance. Right? Not when you're thinking about it at some other point, but here it is. Right? Now it's coming up. Whatever it is that I think I'm carrying from my past, my reactivity, all my wounds, my hurts, my issues, all that stuff. We love to name it, talk about it. But, how do you transform it? Only in the present. When it arises. In this moment, I have the opportunity of doing something different. In this moment, I now have an opportunity of, in a certain way, changing my past. I don't have to keep living. I can change it. But I can only change it in the present. And unfortunately, I have to have some degree of self-awareness. You see? I don't have to be a fully enlightened Buddha, but I have to have some degree of self-awareness, mindfulness, right? Stopping. So when the stuff comes up, I'm aware that it's come up. And I'm aware what's ever come up is something that I want to handle differently than I have in the past. Remember the past? See, that's becoming conscious. So that's the practice of mindfulness. You're not practicing mindfulness to become an Olympic star of full awareness of the breath. Okay, it's not about, entering the competition. Meditation versus different meditation centers. It's got the best concentration. We're learning meditation so we can transform ourselves. Right? So, you cannot do anything about your conditioning from your past. Everybody agree. Remember, I want to make sure we're all in the same reality. Okay, the past is gone. The past doesn't exist. It's gone. Okay? Its effects arise when? In the present. If we want to change, transform, heal, we can only do it when it arises in the present. Now, again, please understand, you don't have to wait. Once you kind of get yourself, right? Once I got an anger problem and I know it comes from, my abuse of this, or who knows, right? Okay. Well, certainly when it arises in the present is a good time to change, handle it, respond differently. But also, I can do some of that work in the present on my own, right? I can look into the seeds of my anger, of my hurt, of my despair at other times in the present and work with them to heal. Right? But that process will only go on in the present. And the more we're able through our meditative practice to be able to concentrate. You see, if we can't concentrate, if our mind just jumps around from one thing to the other, how are we going to give the needed attention and consistency to our stuff to heal them if we can't even attend to them for more than a minute before we're off to something else, you see? And that's another reason why many people have carried a lot of their issues for decades. Because they've never just given the concentrated attention to really look at them and really work the healing. Now, Raven says, I want a better future for myself, right? In many ways, without even going into it, right? And I think most people would say, yeah, whatever that means. Well, when are you going to make the conditions that will affect your future? There's only one place. Now. In the way you're thinking now, in the way you're acting now, in the behaving now, in the kind of emotions you're cultivating. If you're still stuck on cultivating afflictive emotions, many people still are very caught up on always ruminating, thinking about, remembering, visualizing, negative events, negative mind states. The problem with that is what? When you're doing that in the present moment, you are creating the causes for future effects, which will be more the same. You may think you're totally justified in doing it, right? You know, we always think we're right, you know, or this is really something to worry about, or, you know, yeah. We always think we're right. But all we're doing is seeding our mind that we will continue to be suffering in this way in the future. I often say to people, our mind does not have a mind of its own. You know, it's up to us. If you want a different future, a different mind in the future, That transformation has to go on in how you're living now. Nowhere else. So, I mean, these, very simple, right? This is the very important practice. Live your daily life in a way that you never lose yourself. When you're carried away with your worries, fears, cravings, anger, and desire, you are running away from yourself, losing yourself. The practice is always to come back to oneself, and then the present moment contains the past and future. The secret of transformation is in the way we handle this moment. So this is no longer a secret. Okay? It's being fully disclosed. No more secrets. This is the key to transformation. In this moment, how am I living? How am I behaving? How am I thinking? And again, for what's come up in the stuff that's coming up from the past, which will come up, how am I dealing with it? How am I handling it? Am I handling it carefully? With awareness? I know that what's arising is toxic. It doesn't serve me, especially if I want a different future for myself. Right? If you still continue to ruminate about the same kind of issues, still cultivating your anxieties, your fears, your worries, your self-centeredness, your angers, you know, I assure you, it will continue into the future. You will continue to be that way. Your poor mind, it's probably screaming out, stop it. Can you hear it? You're not gonna go over that one for the 100th time today, are you? Yeah, I know he's a jerk. I mean, we already established that 2 hours ago. You know, why do you keep repeating it? Right? Yeah, I know you're concerned about this. All right, knock it off. Let's get on with life. Be nice if you had somebody in there who was on your side. Instead, we just kind of jump on we lose ourselves and get swept away endlessly, endlessly, just over and over again. And again, the unfortunate thing is, because we're doing that in the present, it is conditioning our future, and it's making sure whatever's arising from our so-called past will continue. because there's no intervening. There's no intervening variable. There's got to be an intervening variable. Something different's got to happen. Where does it happen? Only in the present. It cannot happen anywhere else. Who's responsible for how we are in the present? Each one of us. As long as you think somebody else is in charge of your emotional life or why you are the way you are totally disempowering yourself. In this moment, there's only one person who's responsible for how we're showing up in life. Who's that? Me, okay? Now again, I understand for many of us, we love what? We love showing up for other people. Oh yeah, we do, we love that. We love to tell them what to do and blah, blah, blah. Oh yeah, we're experts. We need to become an expert in showing up for ourselves so we can truly heal and transform. And then we have a great capacity, a greater capacity to really be there for others. So good, let's spend a few minutes chewing on this. So any questions about what this means and how to implement it? Yes. It's being recorded, and live streamed so people can hear it.
Thank you. Often I feel like maybe I'm not being my own best friend, being the one that stands up and says, Norma, don't do this, you know, because you know better. And there's this voice like, oh, you can't do anything right anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I'm trying this, and now I'm also feel like I'm failing at this. So how would you suggest I get out of that?
Well, it's like finger puppets. Remember finger puppets when you were kids? Or you did them for your kids? You know, like you might have 10 little finger puppets, right? And they all look a little different. They're a little different animals or people, right? Okay? But there's really only one person who's doing all the 10, right? Okay. So those are just competing voices, all right? The one who tells you what? One voice tells you, what? Yeah, one voice tells you, Norma, you should do this. And there's also another voice saying, Norma, you can't do this. You're not capable of doing this. You see? They're the same. They're just thoughts. I mean, that's why we need clarity. I mean, we can change anything that's in our mind. How can I make a wild statement like that? Well, because none of us were born with thoughts. None of us were born with language. It all came later. We had to learn it. So that means that anything you're thinking is something you've learned. And if it's a repeating kind of thought, like you're saying, it's just, you know, it's like you don't have to do anything. It's automatic. You know, it's boom, it's there. You can't do this. You know, it's only there because, you know, it's not. I don't know you that well, but I know, and I can say with surety, it's only arising because you've thought that thought in the past with some, consistency. That's the only reason it's arising. It's not. I know you enough about you that I know you're an intelligent woman. All right. I mean. Okay, I mean, basically, I'm not saying you're a genius. I'm not going to say you're going to get a MacArthur grant or something. But you know, I would say you're. Yeah, yeah. Well, you and your husband can work this out later, right? You know, I mean, you're an intelligent woman. If I say rationally, whatever it is that this voice is saying, you can't change. Is that true? You really can't change that. Whatever it is. In reality.
No, I think it has more to do with self-worth.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're all, when I talked earlier about the stuff that we carry, that's all, it's not real. Human beings, you know, we don't weigh. Do squirrels weigh their worth? No, you know. They just are what they are. They don't go around thinking about themselves. Am I really a worthy squirrel? Well, compared to the guy in the nest over in the other tree, I don't, you know what I mean? They don't think that way, do they? They just go what? They go around being squirrels, doing their squirrel stuff. Right? But see, we have this capacity, which we misuse, which is to reflect on ourselves and think about ourselves and assess ourselves and compare ourselves and, you know, all the assessment that you make of yourself. Where did you learn how to assess yourself this way? Well, I mean, I ask you to reflect on that. I mean, did you come into this world? Did you come out of the womb and the first words of your parents were, I don't know if I'm really good enough to make it in this world, you know? I mean, is that what you said to them? I don't think so. You see, we understand these are things that we developed. And, you know, it can be some complexity. You know, it's like our environment and the messages we got from the world, our family, and our own stuff, you know, and they kind of mix. And so I'm not saying it's like simplistic, but yeah, they just developed over time. They're just thoughts. I mean, how can you assess the worth of a human being? All human beings have worth and value. Right? I mean, this is part of the sickness of our society where we kind of assess people based on their worth and value according to criteria that people are just making up. Right? And some people make it up this way, and then some people make it up that way, and then they argue with each other. And I mean, it's all human beings have value. You know, in Buddhism, you know what the Buddha said? Every being is essentially a Buddha. Intrinsically, we are born with our own Buddha nature, every human being, right? I mean, that's who we are, right? And that's the journey, to kind of return to that essential wholeness of knowing yourself. But again, along the way, you're going to run into your conditioning, right? These voices in your head that say this and that. And if, you know, And the self-awareness, right, is your capacity to, when that voice is going, you know, you can't do this, that you're aware of that voice, and rather than just going with it, you're aware that that voice is going, and you either let it go, or you just say to it, you know, I mean, Buddhism is very traditional, you just go, is it true? You know, it's such a simple, is it true? I mean, if I said to you, is it absolutely true, whatever it is that you think you can't do, that you can't do it? Do you absolutely know with absolute certainty that you can't do it? No. I mean, there may be certain things, like, you know, if you think you can fly, I would say, you know, that's that one you may want to challenge and come up to the conclusion you really can't. It's a reality check. But most of the stuff we're assessing is not true. I can't do this, or, you know, oh, I know what somebody's thinking about me. I mean, is that true? I mean, you have the power of reading people's minds, right? I mean, it's ridiculous. So we have 1 minute. I think the boss is here. Are there any other? Yeah, it's all kind of simple. Now, please, based on what I said in the beginning, if there's anything today that had any meaning to you, think about it today. Reflect on it. And you know, turn it within yourself and go, yeah, how do I want to begin to do things differently? That's how change happens. Insights can be, you know, little flashes, but actual change is sort of incremental. It just happens moment by moment, day by day. That's how we transform. Yes?
We have a question.
Oh, I don't know if we have time. So just quickly, what is the question? Well, the past is the past. It's just when you're no longer endlessly ruminating and re-experiencing all the afflictions from your past, right? You're no longer cultivating that. And on the other hand, you're cultivating a whole new repertoire of wholesome or positive ways of being. Yeah, life will get sweeter. Absolutely right. Thank you all.